At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Microphone at the beach.
Yeah, I brought it to the beach.
Good for you.
Well, listen, you know, when you're ready to go 15 times and you get canceled on 15 times, you pack your microphone.
Hey, listen, and by the way, I know this is probably not politically correct because of your ethnicity or heritage or whatever the fuck, but you're like the soup Nazi, bro. You're the soup Nazi.
Yeah, that's, I'm all right with that. And it is, listen, someone's gotta put this thing together, right? Gotta be the glue.
No, you're right.
If it wasn't for me, it would fall into the abyss. I have news for you.
Yeah. You're like the man. Yeah.
No, I love it. I love it that I have other reasons to complain about you. it's just awesome. That's really what, to me, that's what a friendship is. I look for things to complain about people.
And this one's legitimate.
Yeah.
This one's a legitimate one. Yeah, the other ones probably aren't, but this one's probably fair.
Oh yeah, no question.
Should we start? Because I think that, like, I have shit going on later.
Oh my God.
What? Dude, it's Saturday night. I'm single. I mean, can I have any fucking fun?
Hold on a second. I'm here with my whole family, and they're downstairs doing stuff. We had to go to an early dinner just so I could get up here to do the podcast.
Okay.
All right? So I'm being pulled away.
Who's hosting?
It's supposed to be Omar, actually.
Yeah, I agree.
But I'm worried about that. Dave, you have nothing? Do you have AirPods or something? Even AirPods?
Well, I do. Yeah, I do. But my laptop doesn't link to them.
Really?
Is it really? Is it bad?
You want to try the AirPod? I guess it's not going to work, is it?
Well, I could try off my phone, but...
Josh, why don't you... I have a solution. Why doesn't Josh... If you had the generous bone in your body, Josh, you would have sent both Dave and I starter kits by now.
Why do you sound like you just smoked a carton of Paul Malls? Omar, are you ready to... Are you good to host?
Yeah, I mean, sure.
You got the email address... The website.
You know what? Listen, just to start the goddamn thing, all right?
I know, but dude,
why do I have to say all that shit? I'll tap you in for a minute. Give me some screen time.
All right, you can do that, Dave.
I know you're never fucking afraid of more screen time. All right, start this thing.
Just bear down.
I'm fucking bearing. I'm definitely down. Talking to you.
No, you're down. All right.
Welcome, everyone, to the 49th episode of...
No, I think it's 48.
48th episode of Friends Talking Shop.
You screwed up already. We've been out for how long?
I don't know. Soup Nazi. I don't
people,
know.
People...
Yeah. Josh, David and I are... You know, this might be the intervention episode. if I should tell you, this is 48th one.
It's 48.
It was only a matter of time. It's 48, 40, yeah.
Okay, keep going.
It's such a delay, we should have said there was a lost 48th episode that was our best ever. Yeah, fortunately, rather than now everyone knows our
joke. You know, if I didn't have any taste, I would say that it went to go see the Titanic and we never saw it again.
Oh boy.
That'd be hitting a new low.
Yes, it would.
Get it?
Literally and figuratively.
That's all right, keep going. 48th episode, sorry.
There you go. Oh, 48th episode, right.
Yes.
So, as many of you know, the whole concept of this show is the three of us bring up topics or experiences or perspectives that we have on life or questions, and we discuss it amongst each other. Neither of us, the other two, know the other topics, and no one's really ever happy when I'm moderating. Let's see how today goes. I think that I wanted to say something to you guys.
Yeah.
And I wanted to just get this out of the way. You have to love something. I don't call it a vocation. I call it a vacation. That's my life. This is a job because of Josh. And he's
a boy.
But like what our audience doesn't know is like, I literally have welts. It's like that character from the albino dude from the Da Vinci Code. You know, his back was like scarred up from like whips and self-flagellation or whatever that stuff's called when you're self-mutilation. What's self-flagellation?
That's where you fart and give yourself a Dutch oven. Is that wrong?
Wait, is self-flagellation, is that even a term?
I think it means the same thing.
Yeah, probably the same thing.
I don't know if it's... Yeah.
Or you beat yourself up.
Yeah.
Don't think it's self-flagellation. David and I did talk about this, about Josh and his grasp of power.
You did?
We did.
No.
It wasn't planned. No. It wasn't planned. But we also agreed that the pros, you know, outweighed the cons, barely.
All right.
But it was close. But you know what? We're all here today. We're very excited to be here. For those of you who, want to send questions, we're always very excited to hear from our listeners. Josh, what's the email address?
Yeah. The email address is friends@fts.media. Again, that's friends@fts.media. And our website, while I'm on the mic and you passed it over.
Keep going, yeah.
Is www.friendstalkingshop.weebly.com. Again, www.friendstalkingshop.weebly.com. So pay us a visit there and drop us a line. We'd love to hear from you. And you're going to apologize for the fact that we couldn't get it together for 3 weeks and everyone's been clamoring as to where episode 48's been, Omar?
Who am I apologizing to? To you?
The listeners. And me, for that matter, because let the record show that Omar canceled several times when we were scheduled to record.
For the listeners who cared and were invested in the show, I'm beyond sorry. And it's unacceptable, and it won't happen again.
Yes.
It wasn't intentional.
I should apologize too. I canceled, I think, one, so I'm sorry as well.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
I canceled zero times, but I'm still sorry.
Well, here's the thing: you're busy enough that the window that you allow us is so small that it's sort of like canceling. It's you throw out the windows first, and then we have to scurry around. I don't know. It doesn't feel like it's all you're blameless in this.
Yeah, so. Yeah. I think Josh knows my travel schedules because he talks to like Emma, and so he'll pick the times when I'm right about to go to the airport or at the airport.
Yeah, are you gonna be taking a cough drop anytime during this this episode, Omar?
Isn't the raspy voice the thing? Isn't that what you want to have?
Yeah, not for this. I guess
really?
Maybe.
Okay.
Yeah, maybe if you're working a 1-900 number.
All right. Is this better? Is this better? This is better.
Were you putting it on? Was it an affect?
No. I think a little bit.
Oh,
a little
my God.
Bit. So let's get back to this. This is our 48th episode. This is the most important one. It's what they always say.
Is it?
Yeah. Yeah. It's what they always say. So everyone's talking about this is the inflection point, so to speak. So, let's actually introduce, the other two hosts, David. How have you been? How is life? How would you, are you excited for anything in the future? Are you feeling good about yourself?
You can't be excited for things in the past.
Well, if I had a good week, I might be happy about that. But, I've been up and down, honestly. I've had some good things on my topic. I had a fun time with my family at a family reunion, which I want to talk about a little bit. But my parents are getting older and, so there's, I won't drag this podcast down in my problems, but when your parents get older, that can never be a fun thing. So my advice to all of you, if your parents getting older, talk to your siblings and get your plans together because, you know, crisis. So,
you got glitched up there, Dave. What was that last sentence?
That you need to get on the same page and make plans because you can't, make plans in a crisis. You don't want to wait for a crisis. So.
Okay.
Did that glitch up? I'm in Wisconsin. Good. It's 75 degrees by Lake Michigan. It's beautiful.
Nice.
So I'm feeling pretty good right now. And tomorrow I leave for Canada for a vacation. So I'm excited.
Is this peak Michigan weather? Like right now, this is the peak.
Peak like Michigan? Yeah, I think that's right. This would be peak. It's like 90 degrees to 100 degrees in St. Louis. It's like 70s here. It's peak If you want to be in Wisconsin, now's the time. So
is there a beach there, or is that lake thing?
No, there's a beach, and it's actually a legit, I mean, you have waves, but they're short, small. But, I mean, there's like a sandy beach that you would, if you're sitting there, you would, I mean, you know you're not the ocean, right? But it's pretty close.
Is it still considered a beach if it's not the ocean? If it's on the lake? It's still called a beach, mm-hmm. right? Or is it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Interesting.
It's called North Beach. And we played volleyball there. I've been playing a volleyball tournament there.
Oh,
like,
nice. Yeah,
but well, if you can play volleyball there, it definitely is qualifies as a beach.
Yeah, it's a beach. It's a beach.
I'll send you pictures.
Yeah. Josh, how about you? What is the? Are you excited about the draft, the NBA draft, or about any trading with the Sixers? How you feel?
NBA draft's over.
Yep.
So again, it's hard to be excited about things that have already happened. But
well, the outcome of it for your
yeah,
Sixers.
We didn't have any picks. My team didn't have any picks. I think, you know, look, we've been away from each other for 3 weeks here, so there's a whole lot to catch up on. But took a trip down to Washington D.C. So that was fun. It was for my kids' orientation for school next year. So my wife and I, while he was doing that, we went into D.C. We went to the Smithsonian and. That was neat. We did that for the day while he was
busy.
Did
you get shot at, or did you feel any bullets whiz over your head when you were in D.C.?
No. Fortunately, there was no gunfire.
Did you see any crack pipes either being used or discarded on the floor?
No, there were no crack pipes.
Any syringes?
No syringes. But what we did see was something that was disturbing. When you go in the Smithsonian.
We have one more. Any corrupt politicians? I'm sorry, just politicians, because they are pretty much, they're all corrupt.
They were all around politicians. They were everywhere. You couldn't see them, but you just had a feeling that they were there. You knew.
Mm-hmm. I know the feeling.
But the Smithsonian, if you've never been there, it's pretty cool. And it, you know, it has all the. Yeah, right, Dave. You took actually your kid there to a S&M convention, if I'm not mistaken. Is that right?
Yes,
a leather convention?
It was at the hotel we stayed at. We checked in. We left for dinner. By the time we came back, the Men in Leather convention was in full force in the lobby. So, yes,
that's
that
true.
Was fine. Last experience.
And your kid was how old when he walked in and saw a whole bunch of gimps in the lobby?
12, 13. We got on an elevator with a man who had no back to his pants, and we get on the elevator, and I wanted to say to him, sir, well, whatever. So, yes, that's my experience in D.C.
Well, he wasn't going to answer you with the ball gag. It's very
did that man happen to self-flagellate?
Yeah. But you know what was in the Smithsonian that made me feel old? Because you know you're looking at it's obviously a walk through American history.
Mirror.
Very funny. A mirror. It's very funny.
Good one.
Yeah, that was very good actually. I'm going to give you kudos on that. But they had like in a section they had like a cable box. You know the original cable box which has the wire all the way to the TV.
Great movie.
What do you mean great movie? What movie are you talking about?
Jim Carrey.
Cable guy?
Yeah. Great
that
movie.
Has nothing to do with what I'm talking about. All he said was the word cable.
Didn't he put in cable boxes?
Yeah, but not this type of cable box. They were showing, like, the history of it. And I'm like, I had one of those when I was a kid. It makes you feel a little old when stuff in the Smithsonian is actually from your lifetime. It's very weird. Right. They like the original camcorder that you put on your shoulder. Remember that thing?
Oh, yeah.
Did you see Jim Carrey there?
Again, you used the same joke, and it's not – that's a great movie.
But we also
didn't get together. It was Father's Day, and so Dave, happy Father's
question.
Day.
Question: who went to the Smithsonian? It was you and your son?
No, me and my wife. While my son was at orientation.
Okay, so whose idea was this?
Ours. We wanted to spend the day.
Ours? Wait, I'm a little confused. This is coming from a man who watches My 800-Pound Life.
600-Pound
Life.
Yeah.
What are the other shows you watch? Like Paradise Island?
No, I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
I don't
My point is,
that.
You watch, like, with Honey Boo Boo. This
what does
is,
this have to do with anything?
Function. What does that have to do with the Smithsonian? That's what I'm saying.
Nothing. So why does it have to?
Because it clearly wasn't your idea. Okay, that's my point.
Yes.
No way.
Well, how long were you in the Smithsonian before you got bored?
Oh, I wasn't bored at all. I could go through
really?
Every exhibit. Yeah, I like it. I like that stuff.
Okay. Yeah, I'm with Omar. I'm surprised you enjoyed it.
I'm a museum guy.
Really?
You can have two sides to you. I can like watching morbidly obese people struggle through their life and also enjoy fine art and treasures from the Smithsonian. You can do both. I am a well-rounded Renaissance man.
The closest I've actually, that's not true. I went to my sister's museum opening the other day. Yeah, but I did watch the opening of Da Vinci Code a few days ago, which was in a museum. So I feel a little bit cultured. I can relate to your experience. So Josh, did you have lunch there?
No, we didn't have lunch.
Is Lisa your best friend?
Yeah, you've asked me this on several podcasts before.
He's not convinced.
Yeah. Either he's not convinced or he's got some sort of short-term memory loss.
We actually had my first ever conversation.
Yes, you did. You did talk to my wife yesterday when you called to apologize for canceling yet again.
What did I do? Do you think I did a good job with the family?
Yeah. What's a good job? You had a phone. We had a phone call on speaker.
I wanted to be like, wow. Unbelievable, Josh.
Yeah, that didn't happen. That did not happen.
No, it didn't happen.
Does she listen to the podcast?
Yeah, she listens. Yep.
So she knows you, Omar. She knows you well.
Yeah, she knows you.
That's fair. We talked about her baking, actually, which I'm still very excited about.
I have a quick question. Josh, yeah. I have a quick question on what I was about to go to. But, Omar, I don't know if any of you – I was talking about Father's Day. I don't know if – I know you're not with child, but it's possible that you have a few running around there. So that day's got to give you a little trepidation that someone's going to show up at the door or ring you on the phone, right? Or no?
Well, apparently my father said to the entire family that he thinks, he goes, I don't know how many children he has. So I think my dad thinks I have multiple children, which is kind of cool, I guess.
I
guess that's cool. I'm not so sure. I guess that's one way to take it. But whatever. But anyway, so for Father's Day, so I got some clothes, right, which is always a nice gift. But I have, you know, the first thing I did with the clothes when you get new clothes, I'm wondering if you guys do this too, or whether this is me, because my wife would thought I was a little weird. I can't wear clothes that are brand new.
I hate getting gifts. I hate getting clothes. I never want to wear the clothes people get me.
Well, first of all, you only wear two things. You wear a white T-shirt or a white button-down.
Yeah, so, and by the way, did you tell me to change my shirt?
Yeah, he did.
Why did you do that? It's a black T-shirt. Why would you tell me to change? Sorry to overstep your story here, but.
Because that's what he does.
No, that applies to that shtick. I did that, David, because I don't like you in T-shirts and that color. I don't know. I felt like you were either in CGI, you know, your head was floating in a black screen. And yeah. I'm also used to you wearing a button down.
Really? Is that?
I prefer it.
I think Zoom calls, I like wearing black shirts, black T-shirts in particular, because they're comfortable.
I think you look. Let me give you an example. Like when I wear T-shirts, I always wear a V T-shirt. I never wear a round neck ever. I can't wear a round neck T-shirt. I can't do it.
I've never seen you in a crew neck. Never.
Yeah.
Seen you in
and
a crew
so,
neck.
David, you don't look right in a crew neck. You should not wear them.
You really?
Only wear button down.
Wow.
Crew necks are fine on you, but your best look by far is a button down, like something casual.
Well, no one. Is that true, Josh?
No.
Josh doesn't look good in button downs.
What?
Really?
You look okay in T-shirts. This is your look, which is like faux athletic apparel. That's like the optimal look.
I do like that. It's most comfortable.
Well, I
like anyway. Going
I
back,
wear button downs all the time. That's not fair. I don't want.
You don't wear button downs all the time.
No. But he said that's my best look, but now I've got to reevaluate this.
Yeah, I don't
like flannel button downs. That'd be a good look for you. Yeah,
it's
not
summertime.
Right now.
Yeah, it's hot. Well,
anyway, my wife said, why don't you wear that shirt? I'm like, well, I can't wear it now. I gotta wash it. And so
do
that
really?
Was the time. Yeah, don't you? So that's what I wanted to ask you. Am I crazy or do you? Will you put on clothes that are brand new and wear them without washing them first?
Well, let me ask you this. Is it because you're afraid someone else wore it and tried it on? Like you don't want their
It's a great
stuff
question. So it's two things. One, it's possible that someone else tried it on, which is weird. And two, it always has a weird smell. New clothes have a weird smell. It's not a clean smell. It's a new clothes smell. I don't know how to describe it. But it's not overly pleasant. It's not awful, but it's not pleasant either.
Interesting.
You know, like Downy Fresh. But I won't wear any clothes without them being washed first.
Yeah, new not clothes. Me.
No, you'll put it right on out of the package.
Right on. Oh, yeah, right. Yeah. No hesitation. In fact, I want to wear it right away.
Wow.
If I buy new clothes, I'm wearing the new stuff immediately.
Omar, what's your take on that?
I do not wash it.
What?
Yeah, I don't wash it.
All right. What about bathing suits? You guys wash bathing suits right away, or do you wear that right away?
No.
In the pool? Who cares? You're going to be in chlorine in about 2 seconds.
It's skin on skin.
No.
Skin on fabric, I mean. And then someone else tried.
So you feel like you're crossing like streams with somebody when you put them.
Feel like someone else could have tried it on. It's just very it's weird and it's like it's not right. And don't you isn't there a smell to you? Isn't there a smell on a new shirt?
Well, who's smelling a swimming suit?
What shirt are you wearing anyway that smell like that?
It's just a new shirt, like a new shirt that you like. If you get a dress shirt and you know it's in that packaging.
Yeah.
You take it out. It smells not like it's been cleaned. It doesn't smell like it's bad, but it doesn't smell like it went through the wash.
You send it to the dry cleaners first.
Yeah.
So that, whatever that thing is you're wearing, yeah. That faux athletic top you're wearing.
Yeah.
So is that, did you wash that? Okay. Well, one thing, have you ever done anything athletic before in that shirt, Josh?
That's hilarious. This is a long sleeve t-shirt. So no, I don't do any athletic stuff in long sleeve apparel. I guess that's
long sleeve. You're at the shore. You're at long sleeve.
Well, it's nighttime, so it's getting a little chilly. Sun goes down, it gets a little chilly.
So did you wash that before you wore it?
Of course, I've washed every single piece of clothing I've ever
bought.
Shoes,
you don't wash shoes.
Shoes are different. Come on,
socks.
Socks. Yeah, socks. 100% socks. Always
underwear.
Wash. Underwear.
Yeah.
Yes. I wash it first.
They come in the package.
I know. That's the one thing. That's what my wife said. They come in the package. No one tried them on. Doesn't matter. I wash it first.
Well, you see, this is more than like, you know, there's a neurosis here that's pretty evident. If it just stopped that stuff you took off the rack, I maybe could understand. But
Gloves.
No, gloves I do not wash. Gloves I'll wear. Isn't that weird?
Baseball hats?
Yeah. I'm winning. David, I'm beating you 1-0 right now.
Baseball hats? It's so strange.
That's a good one.
I wear them right away. I don't wash those either. Yeah.
One to one.
Yeah, that's good. These are good. Yeah, they kind of contradict what I was talking about. It's a little hypocritical, but it's hard to wash a hat. Can't put that in a machine and take it out and dry it.
Beanies is the same thing.
Yeah, same thing.
Yeah.
Same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, so ironically, because more people have probably tried on hats than have tried on the shirts that I'm actually washing first. But I don't smell the hat. There's no smell from a new hat. I think that might be
that's close to your nose. A hat is actually smellable, and you're smelling your socks?
Yeah, it's just, I don't know how to describe it. I just need to, I need it to be washed first before I put it on my body. Anyway.
Josh, that's really good to hear. I think if you have any specific tips on how to best get a piece of clothing distressed so it's softer. In these washing cycles that you
not
do.
Not even why I'm doing it. Yeah, not even why I'm doing it, but okay. I'll let you know.
And again, I'm dazed and confused. But I asked my friend the other day, I said, what do you do when you wake up in the morning and it already feels like you've been punched in the face 8 times?
Hmm.
And he had a really, really good answer.
Which was
involving, a release, so to speak, of the self, and actually made a lot of sense. I didn't have time to do it that morning. however, I went to this Coinbase event, and I reengaged with this guy who I've known, who's a whatever, and I talked to him within 5 minutes. Talking to him, he's so optimistic about the world and blah blah blah. I felt really good. And so I told him, I told him the whole story about what my friend said and the being punched in the face thing. And I go, but I feel like I've, had release talking to you. And wow. So I now that's, I so now
how
I
how did
call
he
him.
Take that?
Well, yeah. he laughed, and now I call him. I was the whole evening. I call him KY, and it's quite catchy. Everyone's picked up on it. It's a pretty good story.
I know, love that. He must love that.
Thank you, KY.
I did not see that.
Everyone needs, by the way. Everyone needs KY or AKY in their lives, right?
You're talking about
How often, and Josh, I'm assuming with you it's probably happened once or twice, David, or probably a lot more, where people who have, after speaking with us, feel a lot better about themselves.
Yeah, right? That's true.
I suppose if they called me KY in the way that you're calling them KY, I guess that is a very intense compliment.
It is.
It is, but at the same time, to tell him that you had a release is probably not the best way to convey it.
Hey, Omar, would you also call a person like that, would you call them VR? Would that be another nickname for somebody?
Like virtual reality?
Virtual reality?
I got the sense that your release program also involves VR.
Jeez. Oh, my God.
I'm not asking for myself. He brought it up before.
VR can mean a lot of things, and VR didn't sound nearly as catchy as KY.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
KY is a good that's one of my favorite nicknames I've ever thought of for someone.
It's very good.
Edit that out. My sister listens to this.
First of all, the first 30 minutes is going to be edited out, so don't worry.
All right, good.
Is the KY not going to be part of this?
No, of course it's part of it.
All right, good. So I think, one other, housekeeping note. We are all very excited to be doing this, to our listeners. Again, the ones who actually care, our dedication has not dropped at all. As we are each other's KYs. you know what? I'm going to have David go first. David, I want to have some semblance of order here for once.
All right.
David, please, if you want to take the floor.
I'm a little self-conscious because my internet connection isn't great. I don't have my headset with me as I'm on the road. So I apologize for the audio quality. I know Josh can come through and make this sound awesome.
I will do my magic.
Right. By the way, I said to the three listeners, so our listeners know, we actually, beloved listeners, I told this to Josh. If he was really a mensch, he would have sent David and I care packages of the recording situation he has in his house. But he has yet to do that.
Please.
But I will say I was supposed to send Josh whiskey about 3 months ago.
Yeah, and you're supposed to do a lot of things.
Yeah, so.
A lot of things. I don't hold my
breath. Those who live in glass houses.
Yes, there you go.
To be fair, you don't have our addresses. We've only sent it to you.
And we've only sent it to you
20,000 times.
Yeah.
So.
All right, Dave, what do you got going on?
My topic. So, as I said, my life recently has been a bit of a whirlwind roller coaster. But I had something that was fun that happened. And that is we had a family reunion. And I kind of want to ask you guys about, you know, what you think about reunions, whether it be family or high school reunions. I have a particular story that I want to tell, but I'm sort of want to get your take on it. Cause I was thinking about reunions. It's kind of a reflection of how you're doing, of whether you're looking forward to a reunion or not. Right? Like, especially a high school one. Like if you're doing well in life or you feel pretty good about yourself, like sign me up for that reunion. I want to come. If you're not doing so good, like, you know, you either don't show up or you feel pretty self-conscious about it. So I feel like that's the perfect question to ask someone, like, to get a sense of their self-worth or how they're sort of feeling about life is, if you got your high school reunion coming up, would you look forward to it or not? What do you guys feel about reunions, family or high school or otherwise?
There is another angle to that, although I will say that that is an incredibly creative way to ask someone without them realizing it if they're happy with how things have panned out for them in their life. So I've never heard that one before, so I'll give you kudos on that. But people could also not want to go to their reunion because they had a horrible experience in high school. You know what I mean? But then on the flip side of that, if they're doing great, then it's a good retribution.
That's actually – that's kind of you.
But I like reunions. I just had a high school reunion not too long ago at my 30th. So I went to that, and it was actually decently well attended. But I like you're to see.
You're still in touch with your buddies, though. So going to the reunion is like another get together.
Yeah, but this is a little different because, you know, my friends from high school that I still talk to, it's a handful of guys. So it's like, you know, it's 7-8 guys. So the reunion, I mean, we were class of whatever, 300 plus or around 300 or something like that. I don't remember exactly. Yep. So, I mean, we got like.
Did you win any awards or whatever?
Oh, yeah. We voted most likely.
Anything?
Superlatives?
Yeah.
Yeah, I got robbed of Class Clown. I wanted that one really badly. And some other guy.
Where's the guy who won? Is he dead or something?
Yeah, well, it's funny you say that because there was a surprising number of people who in my class, my graduating class, are no longer living. I couldn't believe it. I think we talked about this once.
Yeah, you're obsessed with how young people are that pass away. You notice that in other places too.
Well, yes, we won't talk about another place that I noticed that, but yes, it's weird, especially when you don't know what happened. But we had pictures, everyone's old picture was on the bar of where we were. And then the one guy was telling me like, oh, this person's dead. This person's dead. This person's dead. I'm like, oh my God. I didn't even know that, but it was good to see. I mean, I had a lot of people that I liked in high school. Some obviously,
you know what one of my favorite movies of all time was is
Cable Guy.
Maybe still is. Gross Point Blank.
Yeah.
You guys seen this movie?
No.
I think that's overrated. I saw it and that's not got a lot of lift.
Great soundtrack. Great soundtrack too.
What is this? Why is this interjection important at this point?
Because John Cusack plays a professional assassin who goes home for his high school reunion.
Right.
Yeah. Does he tell people he's an assassin in his reunion?
Well, that's part of it. It's with who's the woman with? She's a really big jaw. Minnie Driver, right? Minnie Driver from Good Will Hunting, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And like that was her. That was his like flame. It's just a great, great movie. But it was about it was set around a high school, you know, a high school reunion. So I just thought about it when you were talking.
By the way, Omar, that's a great pull of a high school reunion movie, much better than your Soul Man basketball movie.
Yes, that's right.
You're getting much better. Much
you know
better.
What I've noticed now, Dave? I've noticed that if you just say something, some word, some key word, he's like, do you ever watch when you grew up, I used to love this one show on Saturday morning called Pee Wee's Playhouse. Do you remember that? Pee Wee Herman Playhouse?
Yep, I do.
So they had a bit on that show where they gave everyone in the audience the magic word.
Speaking of, Pee Wee is quite synonymous with the movie theaters, if you know what I mean.
Yes, he is. But when the magic word was said, everyone on the show would go ape shit. They go, oh, yeah, they go crazy. And I think that's what's going on in Omar's head. He has, like, if a word is said that's a magic word, he just chimes in with whatever is related to that word. So we're talking about cable, and he just started talking about the cable guy, even though it had nothing to do with what we were saying. And now it's the high school reunion has nothing to do with this John Cusack movie.
Well,
we're talking about whether or not we like high school reunions. That was Dave's question, and then he just blurted out something that was halfway related.
I have a question. What are the top 5 best high school reunion movies? Back to the Future is definitely there, right? For sure.
Back to the Future is good.
Back to the Future is not a high school reunion movie.
Karate Kid.
That's not a high school reunion movie either.
No, but they have. Oh, that's true. That was in high school.
Yeah, they're actually in high school.
Isn't there a Michelle and Romy go to a high school reunion or something like that?
Romy and Michelle.
That's right.
And then the other one was Zach and Miri. You ever see that movie, Zach and Miri Make a Porno? That's hilarious.
Yeah.
The first scene is they're at the high school reunion.
Anyway,
back to what Dave was saying before Omar's Pee Wee Herman bit derailed us.
So I
like reunions. I enjoyed it. I like to see people that I haven't seen in a while. Although what I told you this at the time, there were people. I'm very bad with names and faces. There were people I had no clue who the hell they were. No clue. Yeah. And I just had to pretend like, oh yeah, great to see you too. No idea. Anyway, that's my.
What about you, Omar? Did you look forward to high school? You have some baggage that you carry with you.
He's got baggage.
Yeah, I had a complicated high school life because I mentioned earlier, but one of the other things is that I didn't hang out with anyone from my high school. I hung out with people at other high schools. So I know people who were there, but I was never particularly close with them. And I never went to my college one either. or my business school or any of the things I've, or there was, you know, when I went to that like energy healing camp, a lot of those people stayed in touch with each other. That 1 week intense thing I went to called Hoffman. That's not really my personality to stay in touch with people over things like that.
Oh my gosh. Ironic. That's the saddest thing ever.
That was really sad. That whole,
I get sad. I have you guys. I have a number of people.
Yeah.
And by the way, there's a Russian author named Prokof, and he has this quote: "If you're afraid of loneliness, never get married." it's true. It's true. I've a lot married to a lot of people, and I have a lot of god kids. So it's kind of great. I can kind of check out when I want to as well. It's neat.
Well, that was just a salad of thoughts there. A toss salad of thoughts.
We need to dig into that probably as own episode.
Yeah, that's a whole nother.
No, I mean, I don't know. Going to my college reunion.
Yeah, but college reunion is different. I never went to mine either. I just because that's. I mean, you got to travel for it.
You guys have any friends with the boarding schools?
Friends with what?
Who at the boarding schools? Like lived at a boarding school. Do you have friends who grew up that way? Anybody you know who did?
I know a couple people went to boarding school, but not many.
I think that I've asked some parents who are really into doing that with their kids, and I'm like, why would you do this? And this woman had an answer, the mother. She goes, my husband went to these schools, and these people are lifelong friends because you're with them so much.
Oh,
it's
sure.
Interesting. And it's a different level of connection, I think.
There's no question about it, but sending your kid to boarding school, I understand why people do it, but that's a lot of their life that you're not in.
Yeah, it's true.
That's a lot. I mean, I grew up going to overnight camp during the summer, and my wife still can't believe that. You went away for 8 weeks in the summer. I'm like, yeah, it was amazing. It was the best time ever, but she can't comprehend being gone for 8 weeks or sending the kids away for 8 weeks. But I tell you what, it does prepare you for college and everything else because you have that independence and that ability to kind of fend for yourself a little bit.
I wonder how often. It's really fascinating, actually, that overall thought process.
Yeah. The boarding school is another. That's a whole nother ball game because that's not 8 weeks. That's 8 months.
It's based on our background. If you went to a boarding school, that's how life goes. So you just think through I miss my kids. Well, my parents didn't see me during that time. So I think it's a lot of passing it down generation to generation, I would think.
I think some of that is that these boarding schools, these prep schools, I mean, it definitely gives you a leg up in life. But there's some aspect of that. I mean, we're getting to a topic here.
We have to go back on track. David's
the other aspect though is that there are wealthy people who just have the ability to send their kids off and not have to deal with them.
Get rid of their kids. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the other aspect of it.
Yeah, so, Dave, I wonder how much you get your rid of. Yeah, it's just a fascinating thing. So David, continue, please.
Yeah. The last thing I'd say with the high school union, I've not gone to any of mine. I have this fear that I'm going to show up and no one will remember me from high school because there's another one. You can remember like me. So, but that's my own hang up. So
wait a second. You kind of,
I don't know if that would happen.
You kind of broke up there a little bit. So you're saying that your fear is that you would go to your high school reunion and no one would remember you?
Yeah, I think that's right. I mean, it's been a long time. We had my graduating class had, I don't know, 800 kids. And so
that's a lot of people.
If my direct friends didn't go, then I might be in a sea of strangers.
Everyone look like you? Is that why you're worried about this?
Yeah, we all us Swedes look the same. That's true. That's fair. Although I would say in Wisconsin, everyone's quite a bit heavier than I am. So I might stand out.
Wait, hold on. This is all pre Ozempic. Who knows?
That's true. Not fair. Right. Dave,
I know you're a little further removed from high school now, as we all are, but you had a 5-year and a 10-year. Did you go to those?
No.
What?
No. I lived in New York. I lived in Philly. I was on, I was not around. So it wasn't in my hometown.
If you were around, would you have gone to those?
I think I would have. And then if I had started, you could have connected with the people that usually go. Cause I see the pictures and I think I vaguely remember these people. Like I'm not sure.
Yeah, that's part of the problem.
Now, and I'm in my high school hall of fame, by the way. So it's not like I didn't have a successful high school career.
For what? What are you in the hall of fame for?
Yeah, that's a whole other, actually, that's another topic. It's for post-high school achievement.
Wow. Yeah. Good for you.
Big ceremony. Oh, yeah. My parents were very proud.
Wow.
Haven't I stuck that in? Cool. I sneak that in on every podcast. Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Well, my topic was about my family reunion.
Oh, okay.
So, anyway, so I want to ask you if you guys thought this is weird. So when our family gets together, we go to a campground. There's like a hotel that's on this campground. We get together and we've got a Friday night routine. We've got a Saturday all day routine. And then Sunday morning, we get together for breakfast and say a few words. And then we head for home. And on Saturday night, it was our family's turn. My dad and his side of the family's turn to host. So in the evening, we play games, and I love doing party games kind of stuff.
Like, yeah, that's your thing.
That is my thing. I like doing it. And Omar, you wouldn't be surprised. I was kind of running out of ideas. I wasn't sure. No one really wants to do the stuff I want to do that's a little bit more involved. So I decided to do a trivia night because that's nice. Sort of my thing. I like doing trivia night, right? And this is my idea. I thought it was brilliant. I want to get trivia questions from the 40s, which is when my dad was born. So I went all the way back.
How many family members are at this thing?
About 30.
Oh, that's a good number. That's a lot of people.
Yeah, so it's about
a lot of people. 30. Is there alcohol involved in this? At this?
Dry as
wow.
Dry can be. I can't think of an analogy, but dry, very dry. Anyway, Sarah. Maybe the trivia would go over better if that wasn't the case. Anyway, so I said I want trivia questions from the 40s, the 60s, the 80s, the 2000s, and the 2020s. Okay.
Okay. Very.
We're running out of time. I need to get these together. So what do I do with anything I need to do in life at this
chat
moment?
ChatGPT.
Absolutely correct.
Yep.
I guess ChatGPT. So let me ask you a few questions from the 1960s. Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
This is a little bit of a. First, just shout out whoever thinks they know it answer first.
This is from ChatGPT, right?
Yes.
That's right. Where you got it? Okay.
All right. So, number one, who was the lead vocalist of the band The Beatles?
Paul McCartney.
It's false. John Lennon. What's the matter with you guys? It's John Lennon.
Well, that's kind of a trick question.
No, it's not.
It's Paul McCartney.
They both sang and they both wrote.
Yeah.
No, there's no question it's John Lennon. You need. Look it up.
That's not true.
I don't think
so. All right, number two.
No question.
Yes. He's still alive, but that doesn't make him the lead singer. John Lennon was the lead. No?
No, I don't think so.
I put it to Google, and they both came up.
Okay. Yeah, they were both singers and writers.
All right, question two. What American astronaut was the first to walk on the moon in 1969?
Armstrong.
U.S. What did you say?
American astronaut? You said U.S.?
Neil Armstrong.
Yes. All right. Nationality. Sorry.
No. What American astronaut was his nationality? Is that the question, Omar?
No, it was which American astronaut?
Yeah.
Actually,
looking at that damn
the American
Beatles
part gave the answer away. It is U.S., correct.
Yeah.
All right. So I asked this question in front of my family. What was the name of the famous ship that sank on its maiden voyage in 1962?
The Titanic.
Omar?
Titanic.
Well, that is the answer. The only problem with that is the Titanic sunk in 1914.
Oh, yeah. Wait. I was going to say 62 is really.
Right, right?
Yeah, that's not right.
That's the USS. The USS. The USS.
What are you saying? All your
USS,
answers are US.
The USS Arizona.
No. So ChatGPT got that wrong.
ChatGPT got that wrong, but here is the thing. So it was so embarrassing. I'm standing in front of my entire family. I asked the question, and everybody in my family's smart. They all look at me. They're like, "I have no idea."
No idea.
And I said, "Boy, you're going to kick yourselves when you hear the answer to this one." I'm like, "Sunk on the maiden voyage," and they're like, "No, I can't think of what it is."
Island. What was the ship they were on? What was the name of that ship?
Are you not hearing what he's telling you, Omar?
Are you saying
ChatGPT got it wrong? There's no right answer to this question.
Yeah, are you still trying to get it right?
Yeah, you're still trying to get it right. It's 1962.
The answer is the United States. You're correct again.
Yes. Unbelievable.
So I said Titanic. They were like, the Titanic did not sink in the 1960s.
Yeah, not the 60s.
I was so embarrassed. I mean, that was But that is, so it's a cautionary tale in that, one, if you do a trivia night, double check the answers. And two, ChatGPT lies, man. You gotta check it out. It's not all truth. I guess I
did
knew.
Did ChatGPT say John Lennon?
Yes.
So why are you defending it after you just?
Because I know it's true. John Lennon is the
discredited.
Lead singer. No.
Paul McCartney's the lead singer.
All right, people, I'd like to you to email in if you agree with me or not. They both wrote songs, but I think it's generally accepted that John Lennon was the lead singer.
Yeah, but Dave, don't feel bad. You said that, and we immediately said the Titanic also, because I hear Maiden Voyage, sink on right. Maiden Voyage, and I think Titanic immediately. Then it, as you were saying it, I'm like, oh yeah, 1962, that's definitely
right.
Not it.
Well,
yeah.
That was the thing. Without thinking, I just, like,
yeah,
sure,
right.
It was in the
yeah,
past
okay.
Somewhere. But it wasn't in the 60s. Now that I think of it, that's ridiculous, right?
No.
Thank you.
That's right. That's right.
So that's funny. It was the USS US. Omar, you got it correct.
Yes.
That's my story. So
how was the family reunion? Was it fun?
It was fun. My family, it is the Erickson side of the family.
So can I ask you this?
Yes.
So we never have family reunions, my family.
Yeah.
Because we get together on holidays, and there's like that kind of is a reunion, I guess.
Oh, good question. Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So why do you have this separate family reunion? Is it because people are coming from all over, or?
Right. We're spread out all over. I mean, it's somewhere okay. All over Wisconsin, but you know, far enough where someone's in Green Bay.
Do your family members listen to this podcast?
My sister does. I had an uncle who listened for about 10, 15 minutes and said, yeah, it was funny, but it's not for me. So
I want to ask you who the biggest fuck up is at the family reunion, but maybe I won't ask you that.
They're listening. They know who they are. They know who
yeah.
They are. You know,
ask them who the black sheep is.
Yeah, we've got it all.
Right.
I will say, you know, it's funny. We are a family that is typical Americana because we have all the issues. You know, we've got good, bad, and everything in the middle.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, the thing is that the family really loves each other. So it is great. It's great
nice.
To like sense of identity each summer you get together and kind of know and to appreciate the father.
How long has there not been any booze at these things?
Yeah, it's a very, it's a teetotaling crowd. So.
Now your audience.
What's the origin of that one? Teetotaler. I wonder.
The phrase teetotaler?
Yeah, like where did that? It's not a phrase, it's a word. Teetotaler is a word.
Right, but it's also a
it might be
medium.
Hiking. No.
Yeah.
No.
I think it happened you know when it was? It was 1962 when the Titanic hit the iceberg and all the tea started totaling off the
right.
Off the deck.
That's
they were all teetotalers.
Right. Now that I think of it, I agree, that's right.
That's probably so, right.
Oh
yeah.
Boy.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'll pass it on to back to you, Omar.
Josh, you know, I've never heard Josh talk about ChatGPT. Josh, do you know what ChatGPT is?
Yeah, I know what ChatGPT is.
Okay.
I'm the one who said it when Dave
when
said
did you
did
last? When
questions.
Did you last use it, Josh?
Oh,
out of
God.
Curiosity.
I don't know, maybe a week ago?
But I mean, yeah.
Really?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
So. I use it every day.
I use it.
No, it's cool. I experiment with it. And it's fun. But no, I don't use it every day.
But it's not just a tool just for fun. Like I went up to Calgary and I said, give me an hour by hour itinerary to spend a day in Calgary.
Oh, that's
cool
idea.
We like to do this, this, and this. And it gave me the restaurants, the place to go and buy hours.
Awesome. That is phenomenal.
It's fantastic.
Yeah, that's cool. You better hope it's not lying on that one when you get to Calgary.
That's, true.
That's a good point. That's a good point.
That's
so yeah. Josh, why don't we hand it off to you for your topic?
Yeah. Thanks, Omar. So look, I'm going to hit that topic that, and by the way, I was planning to hit this topic before we found out the conclusion of the submarine. So let's just keep that in mind as I talk about this.
Good.
But obviously everyone knows what happened with that submarine from the five people that were going down to see the Titanic. And so when I first saw that story before we knew the tragedy, I immediately wrote down in my notes for this podcast. I'm like, you know, would you do this? Because obviously, knowing what we know now, not with this submarine. So let's put that out of the picture. But you know, you're a pretty adventurous guy, Omar, and Dave. You're somewhat adventurous, but Omar's pretty adventurous. So And my wife asked me when we were watching, she said, would you do that? You know, would you want to go down there? And so I know my answer, but I'm curious to hear what you two think. Now, keep in mind, let's pretend like it's a safe voyage. You'll get there and then you'll come back. No problems. So knowing that, would you do it? Would you want to do something like that?
You want to go first, Omar?
I'm curious. Omar, are you thinking about it?
Well, no.
No interest.
I mean, like going on boats.
What about yachts? You like going on yachts?
If they're over a certain size, yes.
Yeah.
But like, you know, like my friends, all they go on their boats back and forth. I mean,
but
I have no interest. I have no interest. Okay. I'd rather be at home by a pool or on a sofa, like eating pizza and drinking wine or working out or something.
It's not
on
about
land.
Would you rather. It's not about would you rather do this or that, because everyone's got something they'd rather do. It's would you do that? Would you even want to
no,
go down?
Nothing in the water. Nothing underwater.
Dave?
100% no. Not because it's not that I'm not adventurous. Like, we were in Ireland and we were at the cliffs of Moher. I think Moher.
Yeah.
I went and sat on the edge of it. Like, that to me, I'm not scared of heights. I am.
I wouldn't do that.
But in closed spaces, that's why I have a fear of flying. So getting in a submarine, in fact, going in that submarine and then hearing that they're lost, I think is the most terrible thing I've ever heard. I couldn't even talk
about it.
It's so scary to me. Oh, I could not. I would not do it for all the money in the world. I wouldn't do it.
Wow. So here's my take on it. It's so surprising to hear that. It's because my wife said, because I said, you know what? Look, that part of it is like when they showed it, that's what was amazing. They're like, this cost $250,000. Then they showed it. And I'm like, are you kidding me? They look like they were jammed into a giant Tylenol. I mean, there were no seats. The toilet was just a hole with a bag in it where you could pull a curtain. I'm sure everyone.
Small window to see the Titanic.
That window was ridiculous. That was ridiculous. Yeah. You don't have to cram your heads into it one at a time in order to see anything. And I'm thinking, that looks like a moving MRI machine. And I would – that's – the claustrophobia there would be out of control. I couldn't handle it. But that being said, I would want to see the wreckage of the Titanic firsthand. I can't believe both of you were saying no to that. I think that'd be so cool.
Seeing it with your eyeballs as opposed to what you see on a TV screen, which is pretty good footage. Well, that's interesting. I never would have.
That's exactly what my wife said. She goes, you can see it on TV. Right. It's not the same. Like, you can see everything on TV. That doesn't mean you shouldn't go visit it or see it. Like, you're not going to go to Paris or to, I don't know, Beijing or Australia because you can see it on TV or you can pull up a YouTube video. That seems crazy to me.
But I'm in Paris. I have the atmosphere around me of Paris, so I'm experiencing Paris. My atmosphere in a pill-sized sub is awful.
Don't forget, I have the asterisk here. I would not go down to see it in anything like that, even if it was 100% safe and I was guaranteed to return. I mean, look, I love the movie Crimson Tide, which I'm surprised that wasn't.
I love that movie.
A keyword for you, Omar.
Oh yeah.
I could have sworn you were going to start naming Hunt for Red October or start talking about something like that. But like Crimson Tide, I watched that movie. Great movie. But even then, I'm like, that submarine, as large as that is, seems so claustrophobic to me. Yeah. I would lose my mind in that thing. It's crazy. And so I would go down. Like, do you ever go to Disney World? The old I don't think they have this ride anymore, but they had a ride called 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea.
Sure.
Yeah,
you remember that one? That was a small submarine, right?
It was, but it was least. It was like you could stand up and move around, and there was windows all around it, and you went around and sure, it was.
I've actually
fish
been
on sticks, but I would see the Titanic in something like that.
Have you guys been in a submarine before?
No,
I have.
You've been in a submarine.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not a
great story.
Not a subway station.
No.
Or a subway
shop. I went to a party on Paul Allen's yacht. Okay. It's called, at the time, it was the biggest yacht in the world. 250. I'm not kidding. with Brett, with my best friend. And the yacht is so big, it's called Octopus. The yacht is so big, it has its own marina in the yacht. So the back of the yacht opens up, and there's an had a submarine there.
Did you went down?
Yeah, but we went in the daytime, and that way it was in St. Bart's, and that wasn't really my thing either.
But you did it.
I did it.
Did you like it?
No.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Claustrophobia, right?
And that was like St. Bart's, you know, where the fish, all the fish there are nice.
Yeah, the fish are
because they're always drunk.
Cordial. Yeah. So why? Let me ask you something. Why did you get in it? If this is, I mean, you don't even like boats. You talked about that.
It was cool. It's like cool.
What are we talking about? That's exactly what I'm talking about here. That's why I asked you. Would you do this?
I'm saying I've done that, and we went down like, I don't know, 20 feet or something. I don't know, maybe more than 20 feet. I don't know. It wasn't that much though. It was more of a, because there's not like deep water around there. And it's very like an informal thing. I didn't even like that.
Okay.
But Josh, your question is unfair. If you were to say big submarine guaranteed to come back safely, okay, maybe I would do that, right?
That's what I'm asking.
But the fair question is
no guarantee. Okay, fine. You know what, Josh? You did say that, so I would do it then too. I guess I would do it. I do it with you. I would definitely be medicated, though. I have to get some of Dave's drugs.
Yeah, I can help you out. But to say, assume that you'll make, or you don't know, but you assume you'd make it, would you go in that vessel? I think that's really, a great question.
There's a movie with Bill Murray, with the submarine. They're wearing those great outfits, you know? Yeah.
The Royal Tannenbaums?
Yeah, what was it called, David?
Are you talking about the group that's lead singer John Lennon, the Sergeant Pepper Lonely
Yellow Submarine?
Oh my! It's a Wes Anderson film.
Yeah, the Royal Tannenbaum.
Life Aquatic.
I never saw that. Okay, stop with the Pee Wee Herman keyword nonsense. Again, you're just bringing up stuff that relates to what we're talking about.
Josh, you're like a woman. You consistently, you're always trying to change me.
I'm trying to keep this train on its track. You keep derailing it. Hey, listen, I would never go to see the Titanic in that ridiculous MRI machine that they went down in.
Yeah.
That would drive me. I could not even, I would get claustrophobic very fast.
Yeah.
Very fast. That's what I'm saying. If it was another vessel that didn't seem, that was a little bit more put together than that, where there was a seat. And windows.
Was it like 120,000 pounds per square inch of pressure?
Yeah.
When you're that, like, it's just crazy. I don't know. Even there was guaranteed success, I'd probably let you guys go.
Omar, James Cameron's been down there multiple times in a perfectly legitimate vessel that actually met code and had no problems with that pressure. You don't feel it when you're in there.
You go down in James Cameron's vessel.
Yes, I would go down.
Controlled by a video game controller and all that stuff. I would still say no. I would say no.
Really? To see the Titanic firsthand? That would be amazing.
Look,
if there were like mermaids or something or whatever down there, I would do it. Yeah. Just to see like a ship that's been underground for a long time,
it's
doesn't really
so iconic. It's so it, the history there is unbelievable. And you want to see a mermaid?
There's plenty of history I can see above ground.
Oh my god! How about this?
It's all, you know, it doesn't even look like a boat anymore, right? And you're not going in, right? You'd just be like bumping along the hull and seeing like, yep, there's a big metal thing there, and look, there's a spoon. There's a spoon. Like, I don't know if I would do it.
I think if I could see like parts of the inside, like the ballroom and the Lido deck and shuffleboard.
did James Cameron write the Titanic? Did he write that, or did he adopt them into a movie? Who wrote that movie?
What's the difference? Who cares?
The sinking of the Titanic is based on a real story.
That's a real true story.
Yeah, he didn't write this.
Yeah, listen. What is the point of that question?
It's a beautiful story, you know?
Yeah, but it's not a real story. It's a Hollywood story.
The love story is fake. The love story is fake.
Yeah, the love story. Would either of you two skydive?
No.
Done it. I've done it.
Okay. You're making no sense now.
Swear. I bet a tandem, though. Tandem.
To okay, show tandem, somebody so else. What? It's still ridiculously dangerous and
yeah, I didn't care for it. I mean, it was never, I was never really that scared about it. Just the, when I was doing it, I'm like, I'm just looking at the ground. I didn't really find it to be that great.
Would you do it, Josh?
I'm not sure if I would do it. Actually, yeah. It's so funny because I'm afraid of heights, yet for some reason it intrigues me, skydiving. I would never bungee jump. Is that weird? Because I would rather skydive than bungee
yeah,
jump.
Yeah, that I haven't done. I don't think I would. I thought I've come close to doing that. I've never done it, though.
Yeah, that's bungee jumping seems like it's run by Carnival.
yes. Carnies. Maybe so, that's yeah, what it is.
I don't trust it. Yep.
But you would rather skydive than bungee jump too, right, Dave? Is that fair?
If I had to choose between the two, I would do that. Yeah, it feels like that's more of a regulated.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Okay. It also feels like it would be a bigger thrill for me, and I would handle it much better than bungee jump. Bungee jump is like you just jump off and you're just hoping that thing comes back. Whereas with a skydive in a tandem, there's a parachute. You know there is, and there's another dude there that's done this 1,000 times.
Yeah. Plus, you don't get yanked around on a.
Yeah, I don't want my organs like bouncing around my body. I don't like roller coasters. You know,
I don't like roller coasters either. I don't like roller coasters.
These things don't interest me.
Yeah, you guys are not very consistent. I'm just calling it right now. You guys are not consistent. I mean, you'd rather sky. Okay, let's go back. Would you rather skydive or go with James Cameron to see the Titanic?
Ooh.
James Cameron.
Oh, okay.
But I would do a lot of things with James. I like James Cameron. I do a lot
with
him.
What if it wasn't James Cameron himself? What if it was like just a Joe Schmo in James Cameron's vehicle that took you down there?
Are they Americans or are they like from like other parts of the world?
They're from American Samoa.
No, I'm not kidding. But if they're like chatty people, because if you're stuck in a sub with them.
Oh, my God. You're missing the point of the question. You're missing the point of the question. It's not – would you rather go down in a submarine to see the Titanic wreckage?
No, he's got a point. If you're skydiving, you don't have someone doing small talk, right? You
why can not? Just maybe that guy is talking your ear off, literally. No, you can't get away
from
it. You
can't hear him. Anything. Where if you're in a sub, you're a really annoying person going on and on and on. Yep.
Okay, the guy's not talking in the sub. Now what's your answer? What's your answer now? He's not talking.
I think I would skydive.
Wow.
I don't want to be stuck in a – and I don't like to fly, so even the flying, getting up in the air would be a problem
yes,
for me.
Yes, that's so surprising to hear that from you.
Yeah, I think that enclosed space scares me to death. I would do
– Omar, what would you choose?
I would do skydiving again.
Okay, all right. Interesting.
Well, he's done both, so he actually knows.
He's not thrilled. He's not done both. He's not gone to see the wreckage of the Titanic. He went down 20 feet in the same parts and watched some cordial fish swim around his window.
Yeah, just put his head in the water.
I was texting some of my friends back then, and I would say I'm in his whatever. And I would go.
Were you getting bars in that submarine? You were getting three bars in that submarine?
No. Well, I'm telling you, we weren't. Well, for some of it, we did, right? Yeah. And so my point is I would type blah, blah, blah at the end of every text.
That's clever.
That was Brett's idea, not mine. But yeah,
that's all I got.
All right, Josh, that was nice. Thank you for that. So you guys have heard me say probably that every successful business is a small cult. Is a cult, right?
I've never heard you say that.
Every successful business is a cult. Effectively,
I just heard it. Just heard it.
And yep. You guys have never heard that saying before.
No,
from you,
I've heard
from
it
you,
twice before.
Yeah,
once 5 seconds.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, it is like it's like a real saying, and so I'm realizing that like, you know, I've been doing these things and talking to people, and I'm actually I feel like to some extent I'm building this consensus, this idea of something I'm doing. I'm like, huh. So it got me thinking. Like, do you guys think? I think that like I might have some qualities to be a pretty good cult leader. Do you guys think that you have good qualities to be a cult leader? David, I could see you being one.
Wait a minute. I want to go back to your premise that you think you would be a good cult leader.
Well, I've been told that by a few people in a little bit.
You have the look of a cult leader. I'll give you that. You look like a cult leader. Like if I was to draw on a sketch pad a cult leader, it would look very much like you.
You do. He's got a David Koresh kind of vibe about him, doesn't he?
But I, did you watch? Actually, I just watched that. Did you watch that Netflix documentary on,
no, not yet,
on Waco? Oh, yeah. I encourage you to watch it.
Depressing?
Depressing? I mean, it depends what you get depressed by. But
actually, you know what I'm going to do this week? I'm going to watch a movie tomorrow that makes me cry. I'm going to cry tomorrow.
You are, ooh, all over the place, my friend. I mean, we can't stick on topic.
I'm talking about, like, being depressed watching a movie, getting emotions from movies. And I
know,
like,
what,
that
I know what crying during a movie means.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm sorry. Get back to the David Koresh thing. I'm sorry.
Well, it's your topic. Yeah. I'm just saying the David Koresh thing was about that, exactly that. And the fact that this man, it always makes me, every time I see a story about a cult leader, I just can't imagine why people dial in and they sign up for this. I mean, I could understand if you're lonely, if you don't have family, if you're looking for belonging and you go, okay, I'm going to try this out. But once the cult leader goes to a certain level, like, you know what Koresh did, which I didn't remember. I remembered obviously the whole standoff and everything from when it originally happened in the news. But what I didn't remember was a lot of the details. He told his followers, he told them, your wives are no longer married to you. They are now all married to me, and you cannot sleep with them. Only I can.
Yeah. Oh.
That's what he told his followers. And they all went, all right. No problem, Mr.
Well, they couldn't have had good marriages, right? Like, we can all agree. There must have been some problems with those marriages.
Nonetheless, Dave.
There, no, man.
Tell me. That's not a deal breaker. Where is there a deal breaker with any of these cult leaders? Why is nobody going, you
one
know
of
what?
The,
this seems too far.
They believe in something that's bigger than themselves. That's a huge part of it.
Yes.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I mean, are they? But I mean, I don't know. I mean, some people call certain religions a cult. Like, you know, I guess my point is you can elicit that kind of devotion, which, by the way, I'm kind of jealous of.
Well, it's amazing they can have that type of psychological power over others. That
you guys
is
like I went to church with my friend with Lana, and I was there with her, and everyone's like hands up in the air, like palms up, like singing, and I was like, wow.
Right.
And like I left after like 5 minutes, and they're like, heretic. No, that, I'm kidding
that
about
didn't
that
happen.
Part.
That didn't,
yeah, it didn't happen. But it was really wonderful that can elicit that kind of like devotion and happiness. I wish I had that kind of ability to do it.
Wait. Hold on a second. Let me yeah. slow your roll. Let me slow your roll for a second. There's something to be said for people who are a part of religion. A lot of it is because you grew up with that way, right? And it became tradition and became part of your family and what you did as a family, like every Sunday or every Saturday or whatever the case may be, right? So you can understand people continuing doing that. But let's say for a second that priest or that cleric, whoever it was who led the sermon or led the congregation that you were part of that day. What if they said, oh, by the way, everybody, the new rule is that you will all have to leave me 100% of your belongings in your will. Do you think anyone would go, yeah, no problem, we'll make that change tomorrow? No, they'd all go, this guy's nuts.
Yeah.
I'm out of here. That's what I'm saying. Like, David Koresh said that crazy shit, and no one blinked an eye. They all went, yep, okay.
Well, he brainwashed them, right? Like, these are, I assume these are people that have huge holes in their lives. Like, they're looking, they're searching
right.
for something. Someone
That's
stepped
right.
up.
Oh, so let's it. Get, so,
Wait,
so the question was, on. The question was, do you think that each of you will be a good cult leader? That was my topic.
Alright, I have an answer. I would be a bad one. There are two things.
Sorry if I cut you off. I didn't mean to cut you off. Sorry, Josh.
That's right. I
cut Dave off. Don't apologize to me. I want you to apologize to Dave.
Yeah, it's alright. It's, I'm already past it. I think there are two things. First, I think to be a good cult leader, you gotta be somewhat exclusive. Like, you gotta kind of be the person in the tent or, you know, person in the, you can't be out in front, but only a couple of times. And I think if I actually had a group of people that were following me, I wanna, like, you know, hang out with them, like, and they would get to know me, and they'd see through me too quickly. So that's one. And two, I think every good cult leader does get into the multiple wives thing, right? And I feel like
seems
multiple
that way.
Wives, oh, I'm even thinking about that part.
Seems that
yeah,
way.
It's every cult leader has.
Assume, like, let's assume that's not part of it.
Well, That, I think that is part of it. Like every cult has that part. Like everyone's taken over the women, right? And yes. I think I'm a one girl at a time kind of guy. So I don't think I could handle the multiple wives. That'd be a nightmare to have to handle. So I would be a bad cult leader, I think.
Okay, but look, so I have a two part.
I've never met a sheikh that wasn't happy.
Yeah, that's true. The answer. Would I be a good cult leader? No, in the traditional sense of cult leaders, because cult leaders tend to take things so far and have such control over all of their followers to the point where they're...
Josh, you do have a little bit of an OCD to you in some ways.
I do.
So
what's
there's
the point?
There's an overlap, maybe.
Overlap between being a cult leader and the fact that I like to rearrange the
You've been correcting me for the last, what, 9 months or 2 years?
Nine years.
Yeah. So.
And Josh, you're always telling people you want to be their life coach. So.
Yep. Thank you.
Well, that gets to my second part of this, though. I would be a benevolent cult leader. In other words, I think I could do it very well, but
Are you the Mormon Church? The Mormon Church of us, of our friends?
No. You didn't hear me. I'm the benevolent cult leader. I'm telling people, hey, listen, today we're all going to play cornhole, right? You know, that's fun. And that's what the cult leader said. And so therefore we should do it. I'm not going to demand that they all give up their wives to me or they all have to,
something I just realized.
Not necessary.
Cornhole.
Yeah.
David. Josh, you're the first person who brought back like white trashy things into my life. Like, the way I grew up, I grew up blue collar, middle, the suburbs of Baltimore. And my parents were sort of intentional about that and et cetera. But my point is.
Your mom's a doctor.
Yeah, she's a doctor.
Yeah. But we grew up like I went to a public school. Like there were let's put it this way: there's a lot of cornhole in my at my friends' houses. Okay,
that explains a lot.
I'll put it that way. So, but I hadn't seen that like white trashy part in so long until I met you.
What else have I brought?
When we would play beer pong or whatever thing
you
would put your hat on backwards. Like that whole look, you know.
He's got you, bro.
Which I hadn't seen. I mean, it's like you know, a long time.
Listen, it's funny what you label white trash. It's hilarious.
I'm reaching a bit with the second one.
You're reaching a lot. You're reaching a lot. But no, I think being a cult leader in a sense where everyone just does whatever you ask of them is pretty cool and on paper. In practice, it's a whole other story.
I think you enjoy, like, you're kind of like the, you enjoy, like, give, like nipping at us and getting us, I think you'd be good at being a cult leader because you would have, like, process. I'm sorry?
Is that what a cult leader does? They nip at people?
Yeah, they beat people down.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Are you saying I beat people down?
Yeah, you just don't build people up.
Yes.
So you got half of it. Have it. And together, yeah, Josh, it might be a good cult team. We could probably put it together. You beat them down, I'll beat them up.
Yeah, good cult leader, bad cult leader.
Okay, well, let me ask you like a parallel thing. Do you think you guys should be, or have you emceed an event before? Like a wedding or? And like you're good
not
at
a
that,
wedding,
right?
Yeah. I've done.
Yeah.
Yeah, you guys are both very natural, you know. I think I would both join your cults.
Oh, that's nice. I appreciate that. You'd be a very tough one to keep in line. That's where I'd have to maybe ask you to dismiss you.
Yeah.
You'd be tough.
I would need, my enforcers to.
Is that excommunicated? Is that what the phrase is?
look, you see. I think with cult leaders, you have to have a show of force at some point in time. Otherwise,
I'd be the example.
You lose respect. And that's where I think I'd falter, quite honestly. I would falter. And then I'd start thinking, does everybody still like me? Would a cult leader really should not be thinking that? But what's amazing about watching the Koresh documentary, Waco, is that there are people who survived that, that were part of his cult, that still buy into his shit. They're still talking as if, oh my God, I can't believe this happened to him and us, and this should never, the light bulb has never gone on for these people. It's amazing. Like, none of that had to happen. They had a warrant.
I have an idea.
Yeah.
I have a really good idea. Why don't you, help with this, Josh? This is right up. This is perfect for you. You're going to be excited about this.
Go ahead.
So you watch all these nonsense shows and movies.
Again, right back to this.
Like, but my, can you put together a list of like five that you love? Like, you want to, these are the five I recommend.
Sure.
It sounds like Koresh might be one of them. And I will watch them.
But that's not a show. That was a doc. It was a 3-part documentary.
I mean, but any of this nonsense.
It's not nonsense. It's history. It's
to me, it's nonsense.
It's crazy.
Like the Titanic sinking. Like nonsense.
Nonsense. Nonsense.
Right.
Well, the '50s were a crazy time. Yes, I will put that together for you, Omar. No
problem. Yeah, that is good. A top five reality TV / true crime. You know,
but
something.
That's not reality TV. That's
it's kind of based on true life kind of stuff, right? It's
of course, because it was a documentary.
Yeah. So I would be interested in your top five or top 10 of those.
Done. I will give that to you. I will give that to you. But watch that. Watch Waco. Said, yeah. That's one. Right. Everyone who's listening, watch Waco. It's only three episodes.
You watch Dahmer? The Dahmer documentary?
I did. I started to watch Dahmer, but I didn't finish it.
Okay.
Don't tell me what happens. Don't tell me. No spoilers.
I couldn't watch it. I couldn't watch it.
It's the feel-good story of the summer.
Let me ask you something. Omar, would you take $10 million to watch the Dahmer documentary straight in that vehicle, in that submarine that went down to see the Titanic? And you couldn't come up until the documentary was over.
People in the sub with me, do they talk a lot?
No, it's just you and the screen.
Oh.
No small talk?
There's no small talk, I'd probably say yes.
Okay, $10 million. All right, so you're easily bought. I can get you in that submarine. All right.
So, Josh, Dave, do you guys have any parting thoughts as we wrap this thing up?
Yeah, I just want everyone to know that we have officially closed the whiskey Deacon whiskey contest that we had. So those bottles will be going out to all our listeners that sent us emails. So thank you so much, and thank you to our proud sponsor,
super exciting,
Deacon Whiskey, Smoky, Sweet, and Pete, Deacon Whiskey. So we will have another contest sometime in the near future. But for now, if you are one of those listeners and you know who you are, you will be getting a bottle of Deacon Whiskey shortly. So watch your mail for that.
Josh, Dave, please. Yeah.
Go ahead. Oh, me? My parting words were, you've been listening to the FTS Friends Talking Shop podcast. I don't think we ever, at the beginning, actually said the name of our podcast. So
yeah,
you didn't.
Well, that's because Omar's the host.
Yeah, that's. I just want to make it clear what people have been listening to. FTS Friends Talking Shop.
I'll have to edit that in.
And to our listeners, I would love some thoughts on better ways to maybe bring out the humor in these episodes. We're taking any suggestions.
Because we're desperate.
Look, I almost didn't host again. I thought I never was going to host ever again.
Yeah, we thought that too, unfortunately. It didn't happen.
Of all the jobs, you did.
I did pretty better today, right? I did better this time, I felt.
Yeah, I think you came in flat. I think if you re-listen to the beginning, it's a little flat. And again, you missed some of the key points, but that's all right. We didn't stop you. Well, we did, actually. That's not true. We did stop you.
It's part of your charm.
It's part of your
my
charm.
Charm.
Exactly.
Well, everyone, thank you. Thank you for spending the last hour plus with us. And I'll smell you later.
See ya.
See you, everybody.